Okay, this morning's Bible verse is from John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus told them, this is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. And we'll go into that more deeply when we have our Bible lesson this morning. This morning's psalm is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, of all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I will bow before your holy temple as I worship. I will give thanks to your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, because your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. When I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me the strength I need. Every king in all the earth will give you thanks, O Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will preserve me against the anger of my enemies. You will clench your fist against my angry enemies. Your power will save me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Psalm 138 from the New Living Translation. And this morning's Bible lesson comes from John chapter 6. We're going to go through the first half of the chapter, verses 1 through 40. And this starts out with the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Verse 1, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Now, Jesus asked Philip where they could buy bread for the crowd because Philip was from that region. He came from a town that was just 9 miles away from there, so he would have known where to go to buy a large amount of bread. But notice how the disciples respond. Now, the disciples had resources of their own. They were working men, fishermen. They would have had something to feed themselves with. They would have had a small amount of food. But they didn't offer that. They just looked at the magnitude of the people that were there and said, well, there's nothing we can do. But compare that to this young boy who, though he only had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, he offered it to Jesus. He brought it to Jesus and said, this is all I have here. He trusted in Jesus to take what his small little bit he had and make more of it. In verse 10, tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets of scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, an important lesson here. First, Jesus took the small gift that the young boy trusted in him and faithfully offered to him, and he multiplied it to feed the over 5,000 people there. But notice that they gathered the leftovers afterwards so nothing would be wasted. When God blesses us and works these miracles in our lives and he gives us prosperity or good fortune, we're not to waste it. We still are to be good stewards of that which he's blessed us with. And verse 14, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. When Jesus saw they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. See, at that point, the people that were there were ready to anoint him king right then. They wanted to literally lift him up on their shoulders and carry him off and proclaim him king. But it wasn't time for that, so he slipped away into the hills by himself. In verse 16, that evening Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Now, Jesus walking on the water is one of his miracles, and that's not to be discounted, but the important lesson here for us is that during the time of storm, Jesus came to them and said, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Now, we all have storms in our lives. We deal with emotional turmoil or financial difficulties or physical torment or illnesses, things like this. And yet we have Jesus' promise, "Don't be afraid, I am here." So when we go through these storms in our own lives, we can have faith and confidence that Jesus is there with us. In verse 22, the next day the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you, for God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." Now notice what he says here. These people, first off, he criticizes them because they wanted to be with him to see the miracles and because he fed them, he provided for them. But that just physically, he was also to be their spiritual provider, and yet that's not what they were interested in. So he tells them, "Don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." And that's a lesson to us today. We shouldn't spend our energy so concerned about perishable things, automobiles and cars and food and houses and such. We should spend our energy seeking the eternal life that Jesus gave his life for us to have. They replied, "We want to perform God's work too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." That's an important lesson right there. What does it mean to do God's work? Can any of us do God's work? Yes, because all he really wants us to do is to believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. They answered, "Show us miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." Now these are the same people who have just seen him feed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a couple of fishes. And yet what are they telling him? They say, "Show us miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, my Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Sir, they said, "give us that bread every day." See, they're still thinking physical terms of bread to feed their bodies with. And yet Christ is speaking of spiritual terms, that bread to sustain their spirits and their eternal souls. So they said, "Give us that bread every day." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And of course, he's speaking of spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. "But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." What a wonderful promise from Jesus himself that he says right there, "Those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will." Let's say that again. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. And that sums up really right there why Jesus came. He came to fulfill his Father's will, not his own. And his Father's will was to save us. Each of us that believes in him, we have Jesus' own promise that he will raise us up in the final day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reading of your word and for its wonderful message to us. Thank you for the assurance of your Son of our salvation, which he earned following your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.